A very good morning, 10 past 10. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition here on Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. Coming up in the programme, there's a fund to help younger people interested in becoming an artistic performer. We'll have details on how you can apply. First Dates is a hit reality dating show. It's coming to Ireland and we'll chat to the show's producers. Does dressing well give you a psychological boost? The Happy Closet thinks so. We'll hear from Marie O'Connor. Get Ireland Happy is a new initiative designed to do what it says on the tin. We'll talk to one of those behind it. The Revenant has cleaned up at the cinema and is nominated for 11 Oscars. It's supposedly based on a true story. We'll chat to one professor who doesn't think so. And we hear from a woman scammed at an ATM in West Donegal. So hopefully you can avoid the same fate. Call 074-91-25000. Text us right now, 086-77-00555. Or search us out on Facebook. It's the Weekend Edition on Highland Radio. Also coming up in the programme, Donegal magician and aspiring performer Dylan Murray tells us about how his tricks have gone viral on the internet. So hopefully you can stay with us between now and 12. 086-77-00555 if you want to talk to us about anything today. Any requests or comments on what we are talking about? You can also call Yvonne on 074-91-25000. A quick look at Saturday's papers. It's heavy stuff. If you're looking for a weekend break from all the bad news, you may be disappointed. O'Brien was gang money launderer. Body in a suitcase victim Ken O'Brien was laundering money for a West Dublin crime gang who later murdered him, Gardaí believe. They're following 300 lines of investigation, and that is the one focused on by the Irish Daily Mail there. The Irish Independent: cash sweeteners to get elderly couples to sell family homes. Older parents would be given financial incentives to leave their large family homes and downsize to smaller properties under proposals being considered by the government. Is that something you would consider? There are a lot of people, many people living in large homes, and perhaps many rooms are spare. It's always nice to have the space if you are welcoming visitors to the house. But the state is looking to incentivize your downgrading. What do you think? Would you take a few bob to move into a one or two bedroomed house? The Irish Times, their Saturday edition. GSOC defends accessing journalists' data. The Garda Síochána O'Connor Ombudsman's Commission, GSOC, has defended its decision to access journalists' phones while investigating Gardaí for alleged leaks, says members of the public who provide information to help Gardaí investigations did not expect to see it emerge in the media. A lot of journalists upset at the drivel that would probably be found on our phones. The Irish Sun: gangsters killed Ken. They have gone with the same story of Ken O'Brien. They believe that he was killed by gangsters. The Irish Daily Mirror: perhaps they win the headline of the day. Stag do rescue for groom in tutu. But it's a more serious story as firefighters had to rescue an Irish groom-to-be in a tutu after he got trapped inside a bar in his stag do. The Barcelona pub owner locked up and went home without realising the man was still in the toilet after telling his drunken friends it was time to go home. And the man then emerged in his tutu, which was all he had to protect himself. The Irish Daily Star: canal body dumped near victim's work. That's the Kenneth O'Brien story, which the tabloids in particular have very much picked up on. Now, Mark Deering is Sky Ireland's Director of Corporate Affairs and joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you very much for taking the call.
Thanks for having me on the show.
It's our pleasure. Because we're talking about an incentive for 18 to 30-year-olds, or a boost for those looking to get... well, you tell us about it. Tell us about the Sky Academy Scholarship.
Yeah, well, it's part of an umbrella initiative on the part of Sky and Sky Ireland. We believe in potential at Sky, and we've introduced a set of initiatives under Sky Academy, which uses our position as a leading media company in Europe to help thousands of young people across Ireland and the UK using our prowess and our skills in TV, creativity and sport. So in Ireland, we've three academy initiatives. One, Sky Sports Living for Sport for secondary schools. We use Katie Taylor and Alan Quinlan and your own Carl Lacey, actually, as mentors, visiting students to build their practical skills and self-confidence through multi-week initiatives. Then we've, and we're very successful there. We're in 200 secondary schools across Ireland at the moment, and we're hoping to increase that. Then we've got a second initiative, Sky Academy Careers Lab, which is a full day's careers experience for 16 to 19-year-olds, brushing up on their business skills or being exposed to workplace challenges, and they can learn about, you know, what career path they'd like to pursue in media, business, and technology. And then lastly, I think for your listeners, the interesting one is the scholarships. The scholarships, we've two sets of scholarships. We've Sky Academy Sports Scholarships, and again, there we have a Donegal person, Mark English, the 800 meters runner, and hopefully a medalist in Rio coming up in 2016. He is our Sky Academy Sports Scholar at the moment, whereby, you know, we grant financial aid and certain mentoring initiatives to help him on his way to Rio. And then we have the Sky Academy Arts Scholarship, which again is in and about funding for €40,000 to an individual to help them along the way in their career, taking the next steps in their career. We had Kevin Gaffney, a Dublin man, last year's recipient of the scholarship, and now it's open at the moment until the 10th of March to find the next Irish arts scholar.
And in fairness, we in Donegal are punching above our weight because a former Sky Academy sports scholar, also Jason Quigley, who is well on his way now into his professional career.
It's amazing, actually. Donegal features very heavily in Sky Ireland. I don't know, I mentioned Carl.
It's because we're
there,
so talented, Mark. That's in case you want.
It's incredible. Philip Dignan, I don't
exactly,
know whether
you're
Team
one, yeah.
Sky.
Yeah.
He's an integral member of Team Sky. And Sir David Brailsford, the head of Team Sky, speaks very, very highly of Philip Dignan as a fantastic performer. And he helped Chris Froome win the yellow jersey in the Tour de France. He's really, really well respected. But Carl Lacey as well, and Mark English, and as you say, Jason Quigley. So we're biased towards Donegal people here in Sky Ireland. It's incredible.
Now, how do people get involved with the arts scholarship? Or
yep.
Is that the terminology of it? Or
Yes, it is. It is Sky Academy Arts Scholarship. Well, first of all, it's visit sky.com/arts scholarships. The application process is open until the 10th of March, as I mentioned, and we're looking for as many entrants as possible from around the country. I mean, there are various categories involved. There's music, dance, visual arts, theatre and comedy, film production, and creative producing. So it's best to just check out the website, look at what we're, you know, have a look at what we're looking for, and we'd be thrilled with as many applications as possible because we think it's a great initiative. You know, it's not an easy career path in the arts, particularly at the beginning, you know, to make your mark. So we believe in potential, as I said, and we believe that we can offer a helping hand. And we're investing in the future. You know, it's not out of the goodness of our heart. We're investing in the future. And the youth of Ireland today, if we can help in any way, then that will benefit all of us.
Now, one of the criteria is that you have to be from age between 18 and 30.
Yes.
What else? What other boxes would you need to tick?
Well, no, there's no restrictions, if you like. I mean, again, pointing you to the website, there are no specific restrictions other than that. I mean, it has to be an original idea. It has to impress the judging panel. And actually, I'm one of the members of the judging panel. And last year, there were such fantastic entrants. You just look to see a freshness of approach. You look to see the worthiness of the application, whether the person is demonstrating something original, something fresh, something new and exciting, and something that grabs the attention of the judges. But, you know, there are no set criteria as to what is and isn't, you know, a special idea. But I can tell you that the quality of the applicants last year, we were blown away by it. And we eventually came down to one person, Kevin Gaffney, who's active in the visual arts sphere, a fantastic young man. And he received the bursary, and he's doing a project on an old mill outside Dublin. And he's giving an exhibition of photography and other things in Castlebar towards the middle of this year on his project. So it was, you know, It depends. All disciplines are considered, as I outlined there: music, dance, visual arts, theatre and comedy, film. We try to go as broad as possible. But what we're looking for is something exciting, something new, something fresh. And I think Irish people across the country are full of new ideas and original ideas and creative ideas.
Indeed, Mark. And thankfully, we're blessed on this programme to be exposed to an awful lot of that. And we expect a strong Donegal contingent. Mark, thanks very much for joining us on the programme.
Thanks again for having me.
And just remind us of that website one more time.
Yes, thanks very much. It's sky.com/arts scholarships.
All right, thank you very much, Mark. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
That's Mark Deering there. Wouldn't it be great to see another Donegal person getting some cash back off Sky? Of course, Jason Quigley, Mark English, Philip Deignan, and Carl Lacey's involved as well. So we are incredibly well represented. So you have the information there if you want to get involved. If you're in the arts and you want €38,000 over the course of a year to assist you in that, that's how you get involved there. 086 77 00 555 is the text line. You can call us on 074 91 25000. Sharon Newman, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How's it going?
I'm going very, very well. And you?
I'm good.
Look, we're both chirpy, which is not so bad on a Saturday morning, is it?
I know, but it's Saturday.
Now, I've seen First Dates UK, or First Dates, really, without the UK on the end of it, all over social media. And it's a programme I've not been exposed to for one reason or another. I'm not a snob, don't get me wrong. Tell us about the show.
Well, it's just coming to Ireland now, so it's been running in the UK for the last couple of years very successfully. And I suppose the whole premise of the show, which kind of makes it a little bit different than other dating shows that are out there, is you're trying to find a match. You are trying to find love at the end of the day. And so it's been very successful over in the UK. Lots of couples. We've had engagements over Christmas, which was big news over there, and had made a lot of news over here as well. So
is it a little bit like Blind Date meets Geordie Shore?
It's I wouldn't quite say Geordie Shore.
I have not watched that show either. I really need to get out more. But you know what I mean? It's a dating show, but it's sort of a crossover into reality.
Without sounding corny, but it's a dating show with a bit of a heart. So I suppose the idea is, I mean, the whole reality element to it, don't get me wrong. You know, you are watching people going on their first date. And that's the whole hook there as well. I mean, there's something quite personal about, you know, people putting themselves out there like that, and it's great. And I suppose historically in Ireland, you know, people haven't done that on television, you know, and they aren't good at putting themselves out there.
That's it, Sharon. That's what I was going to ask you, because, you know, I mean, obviously from a population perspective, the UK is at an advantage. It's a smaller pool here. When you sort of threw open the invites for people to participate in it, given the fact that they'd have to have a camera crew with them on their first date, was it hard to get people involved, or were you surprised by the response?
We were absolutely astonished by the response, because, you know, just given on past experiences and applications to shows, it can be a little bit harder to kind of encourage Irish people to apply. But because the base had been built there by the UK show, it's got such a following here in Ireland, the response is incredible. So I think within the first 3 days, I think we had like 1,000 applications or something.
Wow, that's amazing.
So it was absolutely incredible. So that was a really pleasant surprise, actually. And I think it says a lot about the programme of what people think about it as well. Because, as I said, you know, Irish people do feel a little bit more reticent sometimes about putting themselves out there. And especially because it is a dating show, and you are kind of
well, the thing is, you end up
being exposed, you know?
Yeah, exactly, as well as that too. And it's a good thing, I suppose, with local press and local papers and what have you. But if you're on it, you're probably going to be featured in an article in the local newspaper as well.
Yeah.
I don't think that would happen in the UK, but because, you know, we're sort of, everything's local here.
Yeah.
So tell us. Go ahead.
You know, people, when they were thinking about it, I think they thought about the UK show. They know the idea, and it's very simple, Greg. I mean, what we do is two people go on a first date. It's a completely blind date, and they go have dinner together, and hopefully by the end of that dinner, they'll want to have a second date. And it's as simple as that. And we just follow, as a viewer, you just follow their progress, and you're you know, you're nearly with them on it. And I suppose when they go into the restaurant, one thing to point out, it's very inconspicuous. So there's no cameraman.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. It's sort of like cameras dotted in to get a view of what's
exactly,
going on on camera, but
exactly.
it's a bit back. It's not in your face.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that works in people's favour because they are nervous going in, obviously, and they're nervous because it's a first date. And like most people, they're nervous going on a date. But I think that's actually one thing that it helps as well, that they didn't have to kind of have that in their face either. You know, it's quite subtle.
So, Sharon, do you think you're going to have to buy a hat?
I'm hoping I'm going to have to buy a hat. I really am. We put a lot of work into but it was great. Like we just finished filming. We spent an awful lot of time between applications, and there's obviously a whole hostess there and a whole team there working, trying to match people. And as I said, that's the whole premise of the show, that you're looking for a really good match, or based on what people, and this is all based on what people are telling us. And there's a reason, I suppose, all those couples have been brought together, because of what they've told us and why we believe that they, you know, it could work.
Yeah, you're matchmaking to some extent there, because I presume as well. Coco Television, the company behind it, that's who you're with, Sharon. Who's airing it and when?
It's going to be airing on RTÉ2.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a transmission date just yet, but it will be late spring, I'm imagining. So people just kind of have to keep an eye out for that. But it will be sooner rather than later, I imagine.
And off the top of your head, do we know if there's any Northwest participants in it?
I think there might be. I can't get more specific than that.
That's enough of a hook for us to watch. Thanks. Would you do it, Sharon?
You know what? I'm not single, but I'd be encouraging my friends to do this, because it's not, as I said, it's not one of these shows where people are thrown together. There's actually a lot of time and investment made in these couples, and we are on the edge of our seats as well, Greg, when we're watching these, and we're watching them walking out to the restaurant, and we're like, did they get in, you know? So you're invested in them as well, and actually there's, you know, without sounding OTT, there's actually something quite humbling or something about, you know, being involved in that as well.
I'd imagine so, because you get emotionally involved in it, don't you, as well?
And yeah, absolutely.
Human people absolutely. And maybe the start of something.
And one thing I'll have to say that will differ from the UK is, God, Irish people love to talk and they love telling stories, so we had some really good crack days as well.
Any people being invited to look at the retchings or anything along those lines, or...?
Anyone looking at what?
Well, you know, people get invited back to your place to look at etchings or something similar, have a cup of coffee. The cameras don't intrude that far.
Well, as I said, we don't pass on anyone's contact details, so if they decide to do that, they're all grown ups.
Excellent. Listen, it sounds exciting, Sharon, and we look forward to seeing it on the TV screens later in the year.
Thanks so much, Greg. Thanks for having me on this morning.
My pleasure. Sharon Newman there from Coco Television. First Dates UK, if you're familiar with the show, there is an Irish edition. It's on RTÉ. I'm sure it'll be great fun. And I'm sure there'll be quite a number of people too rather peeved that's what the licence fee is being spent on, Butcher. You have to have different light and shade, don't you, in programming. 086-7700-555. What do you think about that? Would you do it? Would you go on the show and have your first date filmed and broadcast across Ireland? 07491 25000 if you want to speak to Yvonne. You're very welcome back to the programme. Anne-Marie O'Connor is from The Happy Closet. Hello, Anne-Marie.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thank you so much. Probably because I'm dressed well, is it?
Possibly. I can't see you right here.
Thank God. I've literally not got a stitch on. Anyway, The Happy Closet. Tell us about it, Anne-Marie.
The Happy Closet is a self-help guide to balancing well-being and being well-dressed. So basically, I'm like a closet therapist. I help people transform their wardrobes from the inside out. The reason being is, you know, January, new year, new you. We're always told we should declutter our closets, but we've got it all back to front. Before you start any decluttering mission, your mission should be to clear up the emotional hang-ups and all of your bad shopping habits first, because you're just going to be doomed to repeat the same process over and over again.
So are our closets full of our moods and our feelings and our stresses and our happiness and our anxieties?
Absolutely. I mean, if you open up your closet, it's basically a snapshot of your life at that point in time. And I think the reason why so many people have such difficulty with either starting or, more to the point, completing a successful decluttering mission is that they're so afraid to break with the past and to let go, because there might be memories associated with certain garments. So we are in the Happy Closet, have a spectrum, and we either live in the past or the future. And kind of my mission is to get everyone in that sweet spot in the middle, the present, where mindfulness thrives. Often you have people saying, you know, I wore that dress, you know, when I met my husband. So the reason why people hold on to things is because it evokes a memory or a feeling. So, and likewise, when we go shopping, we tend to repeat certain habits or buy certain things that remind us of that dress that we wore when we met our husband.
So presumably that can be a positive thing, but you can also be archiving negativity.
Yeah, exactly. And in the book, I talk about keepsakes versus keeping something for the sake of it. Obviously, if you have something that has of, you know, enormous sentimental value, then I'd never recommend getting rid of it. But often what I found is, being a decluttering coach for people, is that they'll hold on to the darndest things. You know, I would have somebody, for example, who would say, oh, I need to hold on to that T-shirt of mine. I'm not giving that away. And I'd say, okay, that's grand. And then she'd have another, a second or a third or a fourth of the same one. And so we'd put a pile together, and then I'd say to the client, that is your default. Often people have a default purchase because, you know, in life, the older we get, the busier we get. And we don't always have the time to sit around musing about, you know, how style, the most beautiful outfit that we've seen in Vogue. So we pick for the thing that's quick, that's easy. And sometimes, you know, we gain weight, we lose weight. We might buy something that disguises and makes us feel a certain way. And then we get caught in a rut. So it's about learning what your kind of the pitfalls are, so you will have a closet that represents the person that you are today.
Now,
you don't get yourself into that rut.
Generally, I wouldn't say myself as a hoarder, but, you know, I'd hold on to T-shirts and jumpers, and if it suggests I throw them out, and I'm just realizing this now, I say, well, I might need it if I'm doing some painting, or I might need it if I'm mowing the lawn.
Exactly.
Now, listen, I wouldn't know one end of a paintbrush from the other, and I mow the lawn to an absolute minimum. So am I hiding something emotionally here?
You know what? It's just the fear of giving something up. And it, like, I talk people through this, and I talk to people through it in the book as well. You have to get through the why. So it's like not just, it's like looking at, if you have a pile of like six or seven, you know, cardigans or T-shirts for mowing the lawn, you might just need two. So, you know, feel free to let the other four go, because, you know, nothing ever thrived in cramped conditions. And why, it's the why are you holding on to all of this? So, you know, once you get towards the why, then people understand, okay, it's okay to let it go. You know, time and space are not going to collapse. I will still be able to mow the lawn perfectly well with the two T-shirts I have. And yet I'll have lots of space and room and flow, you know, and maybe I could put, you know, ideas.
But what if I get a bit of grass on one of them?
Then you wash it and you wear the second one.
Now, do you think, make a good assessment of someone's psychological well-being based on their wardrobe?
I can. I have a few friends who say you're a bit like a tarot card reader. Like, when I open up somebody's wardrobe, I can pretty much get a sense of who they are before they've told me. And a wardrobe's a very vulnerable space, so I always feel gratitude when somebody allows me into their life, because it's very personal, and you're really showing up all your hang-ups and your habits at any given moment. And I always find with clients that they tend to be quite apprehensive before I arrive, and then once they get into the groove of it, that's when they reveal to me, actually, I was a bit afraid that you were going to come and judge. And I said, that's not my point.
You know,
I'm not here to judge.
Exactly, because not unlike the mind, it is kind of a personal space, isn't it? Because you can be judged on it. You know, say you had something that was a little bit small for you now, or something that was, you know, had crazy colours in it but was completely out of vogue, but you still
kept
it. And look,
aren't we all, like me included, the reason why I wrote this book is, years ago, I was a card-carrying, you know, member of the Impulse Buyer Club. You know, my job, I was drawn to the shiny and the showy, and I had a closet full of clothes and nothing to wear, and I was like a hot mess. And I kept thinking, here I am claiming to be this fashion expert, and I can't get my own fashion my own wardrobe, right, why is this happening? And I kind of dug down and I realized that I was dressing for other people. I was dressing for, you know, people, other people's approval, as opposed to dressing the person that I was. So I was dressing this version of what I thought a fashion editor should be, as opposed to this gal who lived in Dublin in a two up, two down and took the bus into work, you know. I was the furthest thing removed from Anna Wintour that you could imagine. And yet I was addressing this aspiration. So I was living in the happy closet spectrum on the future side of things. And I've developed these nine closet personalities that kind of occupy the past to the future. And and it's a bit of fun, but you often find that you might occupy more than one personality type. But it just shows how this is all based on the kind of the work that I've done with people. And basically we all exist either in the past or the future, and it's trying to kind of dress the person you are now, because the closet's an evolving entity. And I think that's what people forget. They might get their fashion sense right at a certain point in time to think, yeah, I've got it nailed. And the minute that you stop realizing that you evolve, like, who are you 3 years ago? Were you in the same town? Were you in the same country? Did you have kids? Maybe, you know, maybe now you have twins. You know, things could have totally changed.
And what we do, don't we, Anne-Marie, as well, we could have 20 items in the closet, but you know there's only three we're ever going to wear. But you still go through that process of starting on the left and sliding the hangers across in this vain sort of, you know, this pointless exercise. You know you're not going to wear anything, because you know where the three things you wear are. They're probably right bang in the middle.
Exactly. And it's about, again, you know, it's great to have, there are pieces that you have that you'll only wear once in a while, like occasion wear or, you know, the kind of clothes for really, really bad weather. But like, as you said, you will have a small amount of clothing that you wear on the regular. And there's an exercise in the book called the Ryanair Theory. And I use this with hardened hoarders. And I talk about, you know, if you have a bag that you have to fill this, it's a 10 kilo bag, and fill it with the items that you wear the most regular. We clean out the rest of the closet, put it up in the attic, and I give them a diary and I say, you have to diarize this experience for the next week. And clients often say, oh, this is absolutely no way. I've got an event I have to go to. I have a wedding. I'm like, yeah, well, let's just see how you get on. So it always starts off with, you know, day one, this a sense of apprehension and bargaining with the husband. Take the clothes out of the, you know, out of the attic. I need them. And then by the end of the week, there's a sense of levity and going and realization. Oh, you know what? I actually got through this week and I didn't need it and I didn't miss it. And, you know, and it's not saying that you have to have this abstemious life where you only wear 12 items for the rest of your life, but it's just to give clients this aha moment of realizing you don't need all that stuff, so that when you do go to declutter, you're not bargaining, going, well, actually, I need that Carmen Miranda rah-rah skirt. You never know when that's going to come.
That happens to me every weekend.
I'm sure it does.
Well, give us some simple tips. We can get the book, and, you know, it goes into far more detail, and I think there'll be great interest in it. But just some basic tips for us, Anne-Marie.
Quick and dirty. Okay, let's start with the practical. I always say, be the boss. Don't be deceived by your closet. You have to see your closet as a company. And then each garment is, you know, an employee. So you, just like you would do if you were, you know, a manager of a company, how are your employees performing? Do you need to give any of them redundancy? Maybe there are a few of them that aren't performing well because they're crushed behind a big avalanche of clothes that you haven't cleared out. Maybe you need to give them a bit more wear time.
And don't, you're not be afraid to say, look, dress, you're not pulling your weight.
You're
tracking us down here.
If there's something that's not pulling its weight, then it's got to go. But you're the one who has to decide that. And also break it down. If you're going to clear out your closet, many of us have more than one. You know, in an ideal world, we operate from one, but many have two or three or four. So each closet takes about, in my experience, about 4 hours to clear out. And that's not counting sock drawers and, you know, this, that, and the other that you may have around the house. Mm. So a closet, 4 hours. So how are you going to manage that? I always say break it down, maybe give it 2 hours on a Saturday, 2 hours on a Sunday, because the brain can't cope with that much stress. So you want to make it easier on yourself and to take it, you know, punctuate it with regular breaks. Get in a frank friend with no filter if you find it difficult to let things go. You need an objective third party to help you kind of ditch that Carmen Miranda Raro skirt. Get rid of it. You need that person on site who knows you well and will doesn't have an agenda. So it's not like a sister saying, oh, yeah, get rid of that gorgeous pair of Jimmy's.
Because you look too gorgeous. You look too gorgeous when we're out together. And as well, you know, a lot of stuff is good stuff. So you can have that sort of lift your spirits by maybe passing it on if it's in really good condition to a charity shop.
It's a feel-good factor. Yeah. Again, it's like paying it forward. It's like clothing karma points. You know, if you got your wear out of it and then, you know, pass it on with grace and let somebody else get that happiness out of it as well. And I think that's a really good point to make. Also, on the emotional side of things is about keeping present. You often find with women, the biggest thing I find is that they hold on to clothes that don't fit because they're hoping to dye it into them. And it's been proven that identity-based habits, unless there are already an operation, in other words, unless you're already making the effort to slim down, chances are it's not going to happen. So why would you, I mean, denial is a form of, an insidious form of self-rejection. Why would you have a size 10 pair of jeans hanging in your wardrobe if you're 14? It's like having a mean girl in the closet going, you're never going
to
fit into these.
And you have to be realistic too. As we get older, men and women, you know, our bodies change and they may never return. You might have bigger boobs or a bigger bum or whatever, you know, and it's your new body shape. We can't always attain what we once were, either mentally or physically.
And that's about loving the person in the mirror as well. And the book addresses that, you know, this is about keeping present, dressing who you are today. You may have plans to lose weight, but don't forget that girl in the mirror. She needs to look hot as well. So, you know, make sure that you're not dressing her in the old trap, punishing her by saying, well, you can only wear this black dress and that tracksuit because you have to lose weight. That's not fair on the person who's looking back at you as well. And, you know, it's all about, again, letting go. If you're having trouble letting go, try and get to grips with what's so uncomfortable. Often when we have a chokehold on the past, there's an unresolved fear afoot. So sometimes, you know, we won't let go of that dress that we wore when we met our ex. And it's not the dress that we really are holding on to. It's that feeling that we're never going to have a relationship again.
And we've had a bit of fun, but that is the serious aspect to it. You've looked at this. You've seen those connections. And you've seen that there is that connection that you may be holding on to an item of clothing, but you're also holding on to a negative emotion and the two are connected.
Exactly. It's never, you know what, Greg, at the end of the day, it's never the item that people want. It's the emotional payoff. It's how it makes
Would you be in favor of maybe sort of then having, do it in stages, box stuff up out of the closets or out of your drawers?
Yes.
Maybe dump that once you say, right, you know what, my closet looks nice and spacious now, I'm happy.
Exactly, and that's part of the kind of the exercises in the book is about putting things away in the attic and working with a smaller wardrobe, maybe just for 2 weeks, and seeing how you feel about it. And that's part of about the diarizing, because when you get things down on paper, you connect with things on a kind of more intimate level. And when you read back on a journal, you can say, oh, okay, this is the kind of the emotional arc.
Maybe we need another Leffy. I remember before they put the plastic bags Leffy on, everyone used to store the plastic bags in the drawers in the kitchen. You couldn't open the drawers because yes. Plastic bags would pop out all over the place. Now it's these refillable bags, but the bags are not so bad. Maybe we need some sort of a levy on clothes of a certain age in your closet, stop them popping out every time you open the doors.
This is it.
Right, you've mentioned this book 50 times. What's its actual name, Anne-Marie?
It's called, if you haven't noticed, right, it's called The Happy Closet.
Yeah.
And it's available in all bookstores at the moment, but if you need any more information, you can go to my website, thehappycloset.me.
And it marries, you know, the practicalities of what we've been talking about, but perhaps maybe what their meanings are, and even if you don't have a wedged closet, you know, you'll perhaps get some benefit from it, how you feel about yourself as well.
Exactly. It's decluttering based on positive psychology.
Superb. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, Anne-Marie. Thanks for chatting to us this Saturday morning.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And do you have a website, Anne-Marie, sorry, before we let you go?
Yes, it's thehappycloset.me.
Excellent, and people can get some stuff there and also links to where they can get the book. But as you say, it's widely available. Thanks so much, Anne-Marie.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Greg.
Goodbye.
Take care. Bye.